That's the Zootons on Phoenix. Now, it's a gruesome Victorian tale that's been told in various forms over the past 170 years in literature, film and on the stage. And next month, the Southend Operatic and Dramatic Society are performing their version of Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, to give it its full title. And to tell us more, I'm joined by two members of the cast, Laura Mann and Ashley Marie Stone. Have I got your names right, ladies?
You have indeed, yes.
We were just having a little bit of a joke off-air there about names and the fact that I'm not one of those people who can remember names. Some people are very good at that sort of thing. But anyway, Laura and Ashley, very pleased to meet both of you. I'll get you to introduce your characters in just a moment. Also, I'm quite keen, as I've been saying, to find out a little bit more about the society and in particular, your history and where you're going in the future as well. But before we do that, Ashley, tell us a little bit about the background to the story of Sweeney Todd. I guess it's something that most people are familiar with. People perhaps will have seen a production of it, or at least be aware of what the story was about. I mean, it's a Victorian legend, I suppose, the best way of describing it, really.
It is, yeah, definitely. And I suppose most people would be familiar with the film, which was obviously out a few years back, and the recent production of it on the West End stage with Imelda Staunton and Michael Ball. So if you were lucky enough to get along to that, then you'll definitely know the story. But yeah, it's set in Victorian times. It's about a barber, originally named Benjamin Barker, and he has this perfect life, really. He's got a loving wife and a beautiful child, and rather happy, really. And there is a judge who sees this, and he's rather jealous of his happiness. And so, in order to get Benjamin out of the way, he sort of gets together this idea of crimes that he's committed, and he manages to get Benjamin Barker transported out of London to Australia for these crimes. So with Benjamin out of the way, he then is able to set his sights on Benjamin's wife and daughter and try and ease her over to his side. And there's a lot that goes on. 15 years later, Benjamin Barker returns to London under the name of Sweeney Todd, and he finds out what's been happening. His wife isn't around. His daughter is now with the judge. As his daughter is older, the judge has now set his sights on her as a new Mrs. Judge, and so it creates a rage in Sweeney that he feels he needs to get revenge for everything that the judge has done to him. And that's what the show's about, really, is his story and how he seeks revenge on the judge.
It's quite a story, isn't it? There have been suggestions that it was based on a real character, haven't there?
There have. Yeah, that's something that we have heard of. I don't know.
I mean, is there any truth in that, or is that more folklore, do you think, Laura?
I'm not actually sure. I've definitely heard the sort of stories about it, and sort of, you know, that it was based on a real person, but I think it's a legend more than anything else. Yeah. And I don't think we'll ever know if it was based on a real person or not.
Mm. Now, you're a musical theatre group, obviously, so this is a musical production. Quite a lot of music in it, is that right?
It's predominantly, it is a lot of songs, and the songs tell the story as well. And Sondheim who's the composer, is notoriously, he's very complicated in his writing and his style. And the music is quite difficult to learn, but it's wonderful music to perform and to sing. And
is it quite complicated sort of music to sing?
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, just buttoning there.
Is that because there are a lot of lyrics to learn, or is it because the structure of the music itself?
Both elements, really. Sondheim likes to get as many words as he possibly can into a musical phrase. So it's quite a lot of the songs are very fast-paced, very wordy, but then the musical side of it as well is very difficult. The phrasing is quite difficult. It's typical Sondheim. It's beautiful. The layers are phenomenal, and the harmonies are spectacular. So when you have a full company on stage belting out exactly what Sondheim has written, it just fits perfectly. But individually, as you learn it, it's difficult to see that, and so therefore it is difficult to learn. But once it's there and you've learned it and you put everything together, it's like a jigsaw, and it just is phenomenal to
so
hear.
From a performer's point of view, I guess that must give you really quite a buzz to take part in that, when it all comes together and you're there before the audience on the night.
Completely, yes. I mean, even in rehearsals, when I'm, you know, fortunate at the very beginning of the show to be able to sit and watch the company perform the first few numbers, and it sends a tingle down your spine. You know, the hairs on your arm stand up.
How big is the cast when all of you are on stage? How many people is that?
I don't know. Probably about
25, 30.
Right, yeah, so that's quite a sound.
Yes.
Tell us about your own characters, because you've got both got quite leading characters in this, haven't you, Ashley? You've got one of the main parts.
Yes, I am very fortunate to be playing Mrs. Lovett, and she's an amazing part to play, and a dream of mine for many, many years to play this part. So I was very excited to land the role. And she's just extremely complex, and, there is just the opportunity there to really explore her as a person musically, and with the dialogue. I'm very fortunate as well to be on stage with most of the main characters in the show. So it's just sort of the most wonderful part to play, to be honest with you.
That's great. And Laura, you're the beggar woman.
I'm the beggar woman, and she is crazy, I think, is the best word to describe her. She does a lot of coming on and off stage. She's in her own world. She is a wonderful part to play because you have the kind of different levels of her craziness, and you have to bring all that together. Sometimes she's very clear, but no one believes her because of how crazy she has been in the past. So that is a frustration that comes through with her, that no one is believing what she thinks or what she's saying.
I see.
And that's a really fun thing to have to try and portray.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
I don't have a lot of interaction with a lot of people, really, because no one wants to talk to her. So I kind of come on and try to interact, but it doesn't really happen. I'm quite a lot on my own, quite a lot, but it's a wonderful
part. Both of you, from an acting point of view, it sounds like you both landed characters that you're really excited about.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is tremendous.
Yeah.
And you've got this musical challenge as well in terms of the complication there. In terms of your vocal ranges, what are your own ranges?
Gosh, I'm an alto, and so for me, Lovett's been particularly challenging because her range is, you know, quite wide. I'm good there with the low notes, and the high notes have been the challenge for me. So I've been getting as many singing lessons in as possible to try and strengthen my
range. And it's possible to it is about exercise, I suppose, vocal
exercise. Yeah, exactly. It's a muscle at the end of the day. Yeah. So it is about being confident that you can do it, and really just keep practicing and exercising that muscle and try and build up your range. Oh. So I've been lucky enough to do that. So this for me, this show has put me in good stead, obviously, for future shows as well, because I now have that understanding and that confidence
that you can get that high.
Exactly. Yes.
And Laura, but what about your range?
I'm a soprano, but some of the notes that he's put in this show, especially for the chorus, the soprano chorus, are out of this world. And the chorus, the soprano chorus, are amazing that they can
completely
hit these notes.
Yes.
it's phenomenal, and the sound that comes out of the whole chorus as well. But yeah, it's he definitely challenges the whole cast, and I think we've all learned a lot learning this music as well, and I think it will.
It puts you in good stead for the future. Yeah, sorry
absolutely.
To steal your words there. Tremendous. Look, I want to hear some more about Sweeney Todd. Also, as I was saying earlier, I would like to learn a little bit more about you as a group, because it's a fascinating history. 125 years you've been going. We need to take a quick break first, though.
Phoenix FM.
Yeah, with the Feel Good Saturday, it's 25 past 11. Alan Johnson with you for the next 35 minutes or so. Steve and Aaron will be here after midday with 2 hours of sport and music between the lines. But at the moment, it's my pleasure to be chatting with Laura Mann and Ashley Stone, two members of the cast of Sweeney Todd, which is being performed next month by the Southend Operatic and Dramatic Society. We'll talk a little bit more about Sweeney Todd in just a moment, because it's quite fascinating to learn not only about the story, but also what it's like from a performer's point of view as well. You're both clearly very enthusiastic about the whole production, about the musical challenges, and in particular about your own characters, which is great. But I want to find out a little bit more about the society itself, Laura. I said earlier that you've been celebrating 125 years this year?
That's right. So we've a 125-year for the two shows that we've done, A Carousel, and then we're finishing off with Sweeney Todd, which is we've never done before, which is very exciting.
Really? Obviously. That's quite surprising.
No, we haven't, have we?
No, not at all.
No.
Wow.
I don't really know why, but it's just worked out that way.
So many other great productions to put on, I suppose.
But yeah, and we've been performing different theatres around sort of Southend area for 125 years.
Because the history of SODs, you call it SODs, don't you?
I'm not being rude
by calling it SODs. Because Southend Operatic and Dramatic Society is quite a mouthful, and don't want to keep struggling with that. Your history ties in very much with the history of Southend. I was looking at your website, and it's a great story on there that you've got about the history of all the different theatres, the venues you've performed at. You started at the Empire Theatre, I don't know if it was called that, in Alexandra Street, which I think you were there for a few years, and then you had a fire, which of course happened again recently, didn't it? On the same site.
It did.
So makes
you wonder. We've been lucky as a company really to be able to perform in all of the theatres in the Southend area. So yes, we started at the New Empire Theatre, and then we've also performed obviously at the Cliffs for very many, many years. We performed there. We performed at the Palace early on in our history, and then sort of four shows ago we moved back there as well, which is lovely because there is a history to that theatre, which is so closely linked to amateur societies, in particular ours as well. So we do pride ourselves in being part of the culture really of Southend and the history of Southend in general, and we do try and get involved with the community as much as we can. Obviously when we started as a society, that would have been something that just went with being an amateur society. We would have been very linked with the community, so we are building that up again and trying to get ourselves out there and as many people involved with us and us involved with local charities and like I say with all those theatres as well. So
how long have each of you been involved not only with SODs but with performing generally with other groups? Sorry, that's almost as rude as asking a lady her age. I didn't quite mean
Since I was five, I've been dancing. I started dancing, and then I think when I was about in my teens, I stopped the dancing and moved on to singing and acting. I'd never done an amateur show until I went to university, and I joined a club there. And then when I came back from university, I saw a SOD show and was just blown away by the standard of it and wanted to join straight away. But I couldn't with work commitments, and then as soon as I could, I was there. That was about 5 years ago now.
Wow. And have you noticed a change in how can I put this, in audiences, in terms, not thinking as much in terms of reactions, but in terms of people's enthusiasm? Are fewer people turning out to go and see live productions these days, or are people getting more enthusiastic?
It's always hard. I think it sort of, you know, you get a really good few years where people are really enthusiastic, want to be at the theatre as much as possible, and then you get a slow period. So, you know, with all the societies, we're all crying out for audience members. But we're lucky as a society, because we've been running for so long, we do have an audience base that are very loyal to us and will turn out for every single one of our shows. But then we are also, we do want to bring in new audience members as well. But I think the society, you know, just in general, society is a case of lots of people just not going to the theatre as much. I think there was very much a, it was for the elite, and there was that stigma to it. And I think that, you know, over the past few years, that is slowly dying out. People are seeing it actually, it is a good Friday or Saturday night out rather than pop into the cinema. You pay just as much for a cinema ticket nowadays as you would
cinema
for a show
tickets
ticket.
Are really shot up in price, haven't they?
Exactly,
every time I go,
yeah.
It seems to be more expensive.
Why not go to a production and see a live performance?
Absolutely.
You know, which is you're going to get so much more out.
We're spoiled for choice. I mean, we were just hearing from Queen's Theatre there, and they have some amazing productions there.
Definitely.
And the last time I went to the Palace Theatre, it was last year to see the comedian Tim Vine, and my mum managed to get some tickets. So literally the last seats in the house,
yeah.
Up in, I think they used to call it the gods.
In the gods.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether when that theatre was built, people were half the size they are. I mean, I'm not enormous, but if you've ever been up there, that, you know, it's almost sort of standing room only, virtually. You might as well not try to sit down. But nonetheless, that was well worthwhile going to see. And I'm sure that Sweeney Todd will be as well. It's a shame if people don't get out and see live things, because there's so many amazing things going on. And your enthusiasm for what you're doing is going to come across to the audience as well, isn't it?
We hope so, yes, definitely. Yeah. And the whole company is just as enthusiastic as we are. And it just sort of energizes the show, and you do see that, you know, as an audience member. You know, we try as society members to get round and see all of the amateur shows in the local area, because we like to support each other. So it's nice to, when we're in the audience and we can see their enthusiasm for their show shining out on the stage, you know, and we hope that we do exactly the same thing, and that our audience will be able to pick up on that and enjoy it.
Talking about my mum, she used to be in the, I think it was the Lee Operatic, and the Lee Operatic and the Westcliff Operatic, are they both connected with your group, or did they sort of come out of Sods?
I think they were they the ones that joined, because Westcliff isn't a society anymore.
Oh, right, okay.
But Lee Operatic,
they're still going.
Yeah, they're still going.
But you're not rival. Well, you're friendly,
oh,
right?
No,
so
no,
you sort of you support each other.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. We're there with publicity events, we're always there, and we, like I say, we always make sure we get along to their shows as well. I mean, at the moment it's like Amdram month really at the Palace, so you know, it's the opportunity every week really to get along and see an absolutely amazing,
and you learn from other people,
show.
I guess, as
oh,
well.
Oh god, yeah,
definitely. You know, and it's nice to get those connections, because you know, there are times when, you know, you might need to draw on another society for you know, if we're low on particular, you know, men, for example, because unfortunately the performing arts lends itself more to women. There's lots of women in performing, so you know, so quite often the societies will say, oh, you know, we need a few extra men to boost our company, and we'll guest for each other, you know, if needed.
Right.
So there's always that connection there, and that support for each other, which is fantastic.
It's obviously very hard work. It's a real commitment, a time commitment to start with. You were telling me off air that you're doing, what is it, 3 rehearsals a week at the moment?
At the moment, yes. It's normally,
and you're a month away.
1 to 2 when you first start rehearsing, and then about 4 to 5 weeks before the show, you start a Sunday rehearsal, which is where you just run the show and just keep perfecting it and polishing it and making sure that every little bit is perfect.
And that's never mind the time to learn the lines and all the songs and everything, and all the nerves and the stresses and strains, the highs and lows. So why do you do it?
It's for me personally, it's a buzz being on stage. I get such a thrill, and it's adrenaline, and it is terrifying, you know, being in the wings, waiting to go on. But then as soon as you get on and you start doing whatever you're doing, if you're singing, if you're in chorus, anything, it's just such a boost. And when that audience is enjoying it as well, it's no feeling like it at all.
And it's the camaraderie as well between the people in the society. You know, it's just a fantastic social, that we have, you know, a good social aspect to it as well. And we make such good friends. And I always say, you know, I've been involved in performing arts all my life. And performing is, you will meet the most loyal and the bestest friends that you can ever meet there, because you're all in it together. You have a similar passion. And that is for me, it's the being able to put my day job to rest and actually just go out and be me for a bit and have people, like-minded people around me. So that's, you know, is what sort of energises it, as well as, like Laura said, the performing is so thrilling.
So if somebody's listening who perhaps has never performed before and is thinking, you know what, that is something I'd like to experience, do you welcome new people?
Absolutely.
Not just men?
No, absolutely. Anyone is welcome to come and audition for the society. We've actually got new members auditions coming up tomorrow and also in a couple of weeks' time, and it's very informal.
Do people need to book for those, or can
they just need to email our membership secretary, and that you can find the details of that on our website, and you prepare a song. If you're a musical theatre, there'll be a pianist there to accompany you, and then you also, they'll be given a very small piece of dialogue and a dance to learn on the day. It's really informal. I used to be the membership secretary, so I tried to make it as less nerve-wracking as possible, because we've all done it, and that's the one thing that we had. I always said to people that were auditioning, we've all been where you are, and we know how nerve-wracking
it is. And everybody has to do it for the very first time.
Absolutely.
As well.
So, and we just try. We have a chat with them afterwards, and just get to know them and get to know the personality. Anyone can come and audition for us, absolutely.
And if you're sort of sitting at home thinking, oh, it's something I really, really want to do, then just do it. Seriously, it is the most amazing opportunity that you'll ever get. And, you know, we want to welcome as many new people as possible, because the society isn't a society unless you've got a range of fantastic people. And that's all ages. We're not looking solely just for, you know, people straight out of school or college or university. You can't put a show on without an age range there. Right. So, if you want to come along, then, go to our website and
well, you certainly have put across how much you both get out of it. So I'm sure there will be people who are thinking, I'm going to give that a go. And, very nerve-wracking. You describing there, Laura, the audition, I'm thinking, my goodness, I don't think I could put myself through that. But if it's something you want to do,
absolutely. Just
go for it. So absolutely do that. Look, time is running away with us very, very fast, but very, very quickly. I do want to hear about what you've got coming up next year. You're already planning for your spring performance.
We are. We're going to be performing Hello Dolly, which is one of the classics, in April next year. We'll start rehearsing for that pretty much soon as Sweeney Todd is over.
Has that been cast?
Oh, no, not yet. That's not cast until after Sweeney Todd. So basically, as soon as that's over, the next week we'll have a sort of meeting and debrief.
You don't get a break.
No.
It's a tough business, show business, isn't it?
And then what will happen is there'll be about 3 or 4 weeks, or probably about 3 weeks, of rehearsing for all the auditions. The auditions will happen, and then, which is just before Christmas, and then rehearsals will officially kick in then.
So presumably, if somebody's listening and thinking Hello Dolly is one of their favourites, or like you both, the particular character that they think, I've always wanted to do that, then maybe get involved.
Absolutely. Go on our website. I think the email address is sodsmembership@ymail.com. Our lovely membership secretary, Kerry, will be able to get back to you. And we have got set of auditions in a couple of weeks. So please come along.
Brilliant. Laura, Ashley, it's been a pleasure meeting you both. I'm going to try and pop along and see this because it's absolutely amazing. You've got six performances, haven't you, all together?
We do indeed,
which is quite
incredible.
Two matinees, over 4 days.
And then four evening performances. So it's a lot to get in, but...
And it holds quite a few people, the Palace Theatre, doesn't it? So
about 700.
700, something like
that. So you're going to get several hundred people
We're
coming
looking
during
for
the course of the week.
Sold out performances, hopefully. So well, you need to get your tickets as soon as possible.
You certainly deserve it. Laura, Ashley, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
It's Laura Mann and Ashley Stone from Southend Operatic and Dramatic Society talking about Sweeney Todd and also the society generally. And what an amazing thing to be involved with. That's absolutely incredibly hard work, a real commitment, but real passion there coming across. So if it's something that you'd like to get involved with, do check out their website. They've got a brilliant website. I will put a link up to it a little bit later on my show page. I'll also put our chat up there again if you missed any of it or you'd like to hear it again, phoenixfm.com. And we haven't actually mentioned when it's on. Sweeney Todd is on at the Palace Theatre in Westcliff between Wednesday the 11th and Saturday the 14th of November.